To support our work at the Izzy and Mortada Picture Show and the work of other independent creators like us, sign up to listen to the podcast on Nebula. Nebula is the creator-owned streaming platform that hosts great videos and podcasts like the one you're listening to now. Sign up today at nebula.tv/picture show, and you will get access to this podcast plus other great podcasts and videos. Sign up at Nebula and help support independent media creators. That's nebula.tv/picture show. Hi, I'm Mortada.
And I'm Izzy.
And this is the Izzy and Mortada Picture Show. Welcome back to our listeners. We have a very special episode this week, a film that is not out in release, but a film that we both saw and loved. And we admired it so much and admired the work behind it so much that we wanted to talk to the filmmakers. The film I had the privilege of programming it at New Fest, and it's on a whirlwind tour of film festivals right now. It's the documentary Queendom. It's about a Russian artist, Jenna, who is a performance artist and stages radical public performances in Russia to protest Putin's government. And the film sort of follows their journey in Russia and their activism, and also how they manage to leave Russia. So to tell us more about Jenna and about the film Queendom, we have the director Agnia Galdinova and the producer Igor Myatkin.
Hi, everyone. Such Hello. A pleasure to be here and to talk a bit more about Queendom. So where to start? We met with Jenna quite a while ago already, and in the beginning it was not about her. It was it's supposed to be a docuseries about several drag queens, and I was kind of in the end of my research, and Jenna was one of the latest protagonists. But when we met with Jenna, pretty much in that moment, I understood that I have to change the strategy and do just a story about her, because she was so unique. I mean, already back then, because when we met, she didn't yet develop this crazy unique style. I never seen anything like that. But when we met, she was doing more like regular drag queen shows and performances, and yeah, I'm always saying that for me as a documentary filmmaker, it was a gift to be there in the moment of growth and like exploring new forms of art, and that we could share it.
So how did her transformation kind of come about? So you got to see her going from more typical drag to kind of very artful, like a little spooky drag too. Did she talk through how she was thinking about that evolution, or did it just kind of happen naturally?
I think it's kind of more happened. I guess she was digging for more inspiration, watching like, I don't know, Lee Barry or whatever things. Like we spoke also a lot about foreign artists, and just one day, I remember I came to visit her in her flat without the camera, because before we started filming, we were just hanging out together, and I saw she was doing something out of like trash. And suddenly, like in 2 or 3 hours, there was a crown. And I was like, oh my God, this is so crazy. I mean, like I never saw anything like this. And she really, I think she finds kind of like meditation, I don't know, in crafting, because she can stay for hours and hours doing things. So I don't know what was the kick to change the to change the perspective, but I saw the very beginning of it, and that was beautiful. In the beginning, she was doing it only at home. She was making like TikTok and Instagram videos at home in the bathroom, like that she's a kind of spooky creature sitting in the bathtub. And after, when she started to be a bit more confident, she started to go out on the streets.
Yeah. So, Igor, I want to ask you, how did you meet Agni, and how did you come to work together on Queendom?
Yeah, I started working a few years ago. Agni has been already filming. And a friend of ours, actually, Askold Kurov, that I worked with on Welcome to Chechnya before, he suggested Agnia, you know, I think he sent a clip, a work sample to David Franz, who was the director of Welcome to Chechnya. And then Franz just forwarded me a sample that I saw, and I was just mesmerized by the character, by Jenna, by her art, by cinematography, and also the fact that I saw in the footage my hometown, where I grew up, born and raised in Russia. And it's a very small town far away where Gulag camps used to happen, next to China and across Alaska. So it's really far away. So I saw it and I said to myself, I gotta do anything possible to work on this film because it's just incredible. And then Agni and I had a Zoom call, and we just talked. And that's how it happened.
Yeah. Everything happens on Zoom these days, just like this this podcast.
Right, and it was also right. It was COVID, you know, COVID was still happening.
Yeah.
We were
yeah.
Based in different countries, but we made it work.
Yeah, that's
I'm
great.
I'm curious about like that experience of going back to your hometown, but seeing it through the eyes of Jenna. Like, did going there with her or seeing this film through her eyes like change how you see Magadan?
I haven't been there in many years, since 2015. So I wasn't there. I wasn't able to travel during the production of the film. So I was only based here in America. So that was Agnia and Jenna and our cinematographer who was traveling there. But it makes me happy to see that there are people like that in Magadan. Obviously, Jenna is very courageous, and I never saw anyone like that. And hopefully now people, younger queer kids, you know, will be more inspired and less afraid to come out, because this is really important. And to show art freely.
Yeah. So Agnia, tell us a little bit, you know, you're a documentarian. So can you tell us a little bit about your process? You told us sort of a little bit about Jenna and why you wanted to make this film and how it evolved from something about many other people to just about her. But I want to know, like, how do you choose your subjects as a documentarian? What catches your eye? What's your process? How do you decide on, oh, I want to do a story about this or that?
Well, I don't have like a perfect recipe how it happens. I rely most of the time on my emotions. And
a good way.
Yeah, well, I always say that the documentary filmmaking is not a job, it's a lifestyle, because there is no like a time that you're working and that you're like on the weekend. You're just walking on the street, and every time like you kind of scan everything what's happening around you for a potential story. And sometimes I had this a couple of times already that I see someone on the street, and so we pass each other, and then I walk and I think like, oh my God, this was something very special. So I run back out to these people and I try to have a first conversation just to kind of like test it. Well, so far it didn't work. But I try. I always like, yeah, I'm always ready. It's another important thing for me in working is to have enough time to develop, because, you know, sometimes I think that that, you know, I found the story and it's a perfect protagonist. But I don't know, after spending together like a couple of weeks, it's not working. And it's very, very important for me to have this time to, you know, to spend together with a potential protagonist to see if it's really, if there's really a story behind. So in general, like my way of making documentaries, it takes a lot of time. We made Quindam in 2 years and a half. We've been filming for 2 years and a half.
Which is, as you know, when we talked earlier this month, you told me that that's kind of fast. Documentaries usually, or your work usually, takes a lot more than that.
Well, it really depends on the subject, and maybe Quindam would last longer if you know, Russia would not invade Ukraine and we had to like get out of the country, and that was obvious, you know, ending of the story. Like, but if it would not happen, maybe we would film, I don't know, for another 3 years.
Yeah, I hear you. I wanted to go back to something you said earlier when you said documentary is a lifestyle. Being a documentarian is a lifestyle. And I have seen both of you sort of, you know, IRL, if there's no better term for it, and sort of personifying this film, just the way you were talking about it, the way you handle yourself, you know, the poster you came out to, it was New Fest. It was like, even just your presence in the festival, unlike, you know, was unique and was sort of a performance art in a way, and expressing the art, and it so fit the film. So even if somebody's just walking down the street and saw you with your posters and the way you were handling yourself with your friends and walking around and talking about the film and all of that, they would know something is happening, which is kind of what Jenna does in the film. So can you talk a little bit about that? And so, you know, give our listeners who maybe weren't at New Fest or the many other festivals that you went to kind of an idea of what to expect should they meet both of you and see you kind of present Quindam. Because I loved everything you did.
I mean, for sure. We all have. I mean, there is no like a special strategy behind this. We're just being us, and the poster happened to be that big. And
maybe a better way to rephrase my question is to, like, you know, how do you drum, because your film is going to many festivals. So how are you sort of like getting attention for it? Because I think, you know, what I was trying to say with my question is that it's, you were certainly showstoppers, not just because your film, your art, your work is amazing, but just because your presence around it, talking about it, introducing it, all of that sounded, looked like performance art and something that people need to, like, you know, stop and look at.
Well, I think it comes from the fact that it's an independent film and it's a very small crew. We're very close to each other, even though I haven't even met some of our crew in person in real life, like you're saying, right? But through conversations and talking about the film. So it's a very tight crew. We're always in touch with each other and in touch with Jenna. And I think because of that, there's some sort of a love that for cinema overall. Right? That's why we're also very proud of the film. And it wasn't easy to make it, given the circumstances. So I think we're just, when we're at festivals, we're there to celebrate the art, cinema, to celebrate Jenna, and also to hopefully direct attention to the problems in this world happening right now. So I think all of this combined just gives us some special energy that we want to share with the world, and also, you know, share the film with the world. When people see the film, hopefully they're going through some sort of a transformation, I don't know, or get a glimpse of what it's like to be, let's say, Jenna, or to be creating something that is so radical. Yeah. I think it's important for people to get them outside of their comfort zone too. Yeah. So that's what we provide, but also a really good time. We were going with that poster 4 a.m. on New York subway, and people were like, wow, what is happening? That was like the highlight of that night.
Yeah.
I'd love to talk a little bit about some of those challenges that you mentioned, like just filming in Russia. I've spoken to other documentarians who've filmed in Russia, and they've talked a lot about like having to hide cameras on the street and try like those logistical problems of like knowing that you are being watched as you're being filmed. So did you how did you kind of approach those challenges? Were there any things that you had to do to kind of prepare for, I don't know, intervention?
Well, I'm against the hidden cameras. Mm-hmm. I think that every person who is being filmed has to know that he's being filmed, even if it's a policeman or whoever. So we never do hidden cameras. But for sure, you need to take in consideration that, you know, when you go out there, you cannot predict what's going to happen, because you can bump into, I don't know, aggressive people. You can bump into, I don't know, haters of LGBTQ. And, you know, when people see Jenna on the street, it's not always like a bad reaction. Mm-hmm. It's also kind of curiosity. I wouldn't say that there is I don't know, love and acceptance out there on the streets of Moscow, but it's not always bad. And even with police, we had a lot of interactions which you don't see in the film, because we shot for so long and we had like over 300 hours. There was much more situation that ended up in the film. And every time it's a conversation. I mean, you just need to be human, you know, even in this kind of situations, and to talk. That's the key of, you know, solving all the problems on the street. Sometimes it's not working. Sometimes we like what I was saying on the Q&A at Newfest, that at the last protest against the war in Ukraine, we knew that we're gonna get arrested. Like, there was no doubt that we're gonna escape that, and it happened a bit too fast than we expected it, because Jenna wanted to reach like a bigger crowd where all the people were protesting, but we didn't make it there because we got arrested before we walked there. And because I knew that we're gonna get arrested, we came up with an idea that our cinematographer will be on roller skaters, and it worked out. I mean, like, you need to be kind of like creative and see, even in this situation, the kind of bright side of creativity. And it worked perfectly, because when I got arrested, Jenna was already in the car, and he was still staying filming, and they start to move towards him to you know, to arrest him, and he just took off, and it was perfect because they understood that they're not gonna run after him. He was so fast. He's a professional roller skater, so.
Dang.
So yeah, I prefer this kind of things rather than hidden cameras, and it's like, you know, it works. It worked. Now I don't know, like, now the situation went so much worse than last year.
Yeah, we all consulted with lawyers, but now the situation is getting so much worse that they arrested Navalny's lawyers. One of them escaped, the other ones are arrested, and that's a very scary step in a democracy where the government is going after lawyers. And the reason they're saying why they're going after them is because they helped, you know, they represent Navalny, therefore they're part of his terrorist or organization, whatever they designated his organization. So it's a scary scary moment in the country, actually. But yeah. But we tried everything we could, and when we were filming back then, which was, the situation was not as tense as now.
Yeah, everything is getting worse all over the world, unfortunately. Yeah. Which it's sort of like kind of brings me to my question, you know, as documentarians, do you feel like a certain responsibility to tell certain types of stories, or it's not like the sort of like social and political responsibility is not something that is the driving force behind what you do, but if it's a byproduct, then that's great. So can you talk a little bit about that? Like, Av, do you feel this responsibility as documentarians?
Yes, for sure. I mean, after we finished the edit, well, I start to think like, what's next? Like, what I'm gonna do after that? For sure, you need to take some time, like, to, you know, cool off after working on one film. But I understood for me personally that I don't dare even to think about making stories. Which now I live in Paris and there's so many beautiful things happen around me, but I'm not going to make a movie about that. My country is in pain. Like, what's happening in Russia is, it's a disaster, and we're gonna deal with it for years and years to heal back the society on so many levels. And you know, I also don't dare to make a story about Ukrainians because I'm not Ukrainian, but I'm Russian. And I think my responsibility is to reflect on what's happening in Russian society with Russian people during this horrible war. Mm. And it is challenging for me because I'm not in Russia, but I'm sure we're going to find a way how to bring on screen this topic as well, because yes, I know for sure there is enough very talented filmmakers who gonna reveal all the war crimes that Russia is doing in Ukraine, and there's already quite some great films out there. Mm-hmm. But I think it's all important to, you know, to show what's happening in Russia and what's happening with Russian people during all this time. So that's my responsibility. And I think when I'm gonna find a way how to do that, that will be my next project, the documentary project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Igor, would you like to add anything to what Agnia said about this?
Definitely there's the responsibility and the desire to make certain kind of films. I'm specifically interested in queer stories. The fact that I worked on Welcome to Chechnya before, which was a pure chance, the way David and I met, which was about Russian, about queer people. And then the way Agnia and I met was also very serendipitous. Mm-hmm. We knew that it would be such a perfect match in terms of, you know, not just like our skills and where we are and our careers, but also just being very aligned in terms of what kind of art we want to make. Mm-hmm. Me personally, I was never out in Russia, so I never really lived that free life in Russia. So for me, I feel certain responsibility to the queer community there. Mm. Because I left so early, right after high school, so now I have this desire to tell stories about queer people, and specifically in Russia, because if I were still there, I would be totally closeted, and I don't know if I'm doing what I'm doing now. So that's where my desire to tell certain stories comes from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is a lot of queer stories definitely to be told from all over the world. But I think I love what you both said about sort of like, you need to be local first. To sort of like tell the right stories, which is, yeah, we should all do that. And that's a great start, a way to start, to be local first.
So obviously the film's a documentary, but there are kind of these moments kind of spliced in where they're almost like it's like ballet almost of Jenna like acting out what she's going through in the film, like almost a music video or something like that. Can you kind of describe how you conceived of those moments and when they were filmed?
Yeah, so there was no such a plan in the beginning. But because I can say that this film for me was the moment of growth and like redefining what's documentary for me. Because before I was more like stiff and I had like a strict rules in my head that it has to be like only observational, no like, you know, talking to a protagonist, no music, to not manipulate the viewer, things like that. And with this film, I took some liberty for myself. And I think it's beautiful to play with different forms. And we didn't plan it. First one we did is when Jenna is wearing the mask, a black mask with horns. And there was just, I don't know, a feeling because we were following her. She was doing this performance for someone else and we were just following them. And in the end of the day, like the sun was already almost down and there was basically, I don't know, like 10, 15 minutes before it would get completely dark. And I don't know, we were standing there and it was so beautiful, like the landscape and Jenna and everything. So we decided to try and we asked Jenna to, you know, to act a bit more and we did it in slow motion. And then she got in such a state, like she always does it, you know, she kind of like disconnect with the reality. And she go in her own world, and it turned out so beautiful. And you know, and in the editing room, so we decided to try to do more of these things. And it was always spontaneous; like we never plan anything. I mean, we planned one where a lot of people in the duct tape in the Russian in the colors of Russian flag. This one we planned very carefully because it was just before we left Russia. So it was a bit like kind of scary because it's obviously something that police would question if they would find out what we're doing. So we were like very protective in the place where we were doing it. I asked everyone to not make any pictures. Everyone had to leave their phones at the door. But the rest of the performances, they're more like spontaneous. Depends where we are. Like if we were in Magadan and we found this lake with mud and we were like, let's just try. And again, Jenna went in this, like, I don't know, her special state of mind and she gave this incredible performance.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow,
so it's always similar. Like collaboration, but driven by Jenna. Yeah.
Yeah. I love all of that. One of the things that I loved about the film is that yes, it's about a performance artist, and it's about and you show their art, but it's also about escape. And it's about the bureaucracy of immigration and how, and this is something that, you know, as an immigrant to this country, I've dealt with for years. And so when you show sort of like Jenna trying to make it to Paris and you show sort of like the way she's on the phone talking to this person, she's doing that, all of that stuff, it sort of just shows sort of like, yes, there is a bigger picture here of an artist trying to make their art, but they also have to live and have to feel safe. And that takes a lot of their time to just sort of make those steps. So can you talk a little bit about why that was important to show in the film?
Well, I'm going to start from far because when we met, so Jenna was in, you know, in this, kind of rethinking of how she wants to present herself back then mostly in social media, but then she started to go on the streets. And another like step up was when she realized that her Instagram is not just for like posting beautiful pictures. It's a platform to spread message. And she started to get so much feedbacks from people saying like, thank you for what you're doing. Like, through your courage, we're visible in this country, because most of the queer community, they're living like behind the closed doors. And with those, because in 2013, there was the first law that they adopted, which was banning propaganda among minors. And now, like, when was it? Like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, extended it like for everyone. And so it means that, you cannot even walk hand by hand on the street. And what Jenna was doing on the street, it was, even for Russian people who are kind of like, especially in the big cities, when you not agree what government is doing, you're kind of prepared that you can get arrested anytime, for whatever, for how you look like or what you're saying, or if you're holding a blank piece of paper for protest.
Oh, wow.
So like, get arrested, it's kind of like normalized, it's not like shocking because there are so many who already been there. But what Jenna was doing, it's like next level. And when she started to get all of this feedback from people, not only from Moscow or St. Petersburg, from all over, I think for her was such a like engine to keep doing it. So arrived to the point that she has to leave the country. I mean, it was obvious that she's, she's a LGBTQ plus activist and, fighting against the war. And, there was no doubt in with the organization about her that she need to get out for sure and that they're ready to help her because she's, she has a profile of things that she did. I guess when you're not that, like, public, it's more complicated to get your case approved. But we also try to help her friends who also in the film to escape Russia, because it was kind of like scary moments last year. And so some of her friends also left. Actually, most of her friends that you see on the birthday party in the film, they're out of Russia.
Wow.
I don't know if I answered your question, but
no, you did. You did. You absolutely did. Yes. And I'm happy to hear that most of the people in the movie are out of Russia. That's great.
One of the things I found really interesting about the film is like how it kind of plays out like a narrative almost. It like at times, knowing what we know now, we'd be listening to the news, and the news is saying like, oh, there might be an invasion of Ukraine. And obviously now we know that there was. What was that like to just kind of look back and see all of these seeds being planted of like where everything was going? I mean, did you accidentally capture all of those things? Or was it just kind of, I don't know, did you have a sense that like it would be happening, so you need to get something on the news? How does that kind of work out day to day?
Well, I'm going to confess. This particular thing that you're speaking about, for sure we were editing way after. So we just this little piece and
clip it in. Yeah. No, it felt really good in there. I liked how that worked.
But overall, for sure there was a lot of talks about it before it happened. It was not like completely by surprise. People following what was going on, and you know, Russian government were like, they start to threaten with the invasion already months before it happened. Mm-hmm. And you know, most people say that the war started on the 24th February last year, but it started in 2014 when Russia you know, took Crimea by force. Mm-hmm. And we all have stayed this way, that the war started back then, not last year. Last year it was just like escalation, and so, you know, it was not something that nobody like knew, like what I want to say, like everyone knew what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody could predict that it's gonna be this big. Like, you know, when everything started, we thought that, you know, in some days they're gonna find a solution how to end it. And unfortunately, we're still there.
Yeah.
I'm curious what it's been like touring this film in the United States. Like, are there things that you realize like Americans just don't know about Russia that you wish Americans understood better?
Well, for everyone, it's a very big surprise where Magadan is. They cannot, people cannot believe that in one country you can fly for 8 hours and still be in the same country. I mean, we receive a lot of support and love from people, from the audience. I love to talk on Q&As. It's always surprisingly well. And many people say that, like, thank us to show what's like kind of glimpse of what's happening really in Russia, because it never reached the news. You know, in the news, it's very, you know, depends from where this news comes from, France or from United States or from Russia or from Ukraine. It's, they all like put their own propaganda message there.
Mm-hmm.
And people who watch our film see, like, you know, a true moment of how is it being queer in Russia in a particular moment. And that's what a lot of people say, that they could not imagine that this is how it is for real, not from the news.
Yeah. Wow.
And also, yeah, a lot of people were surprised at how, that people were protesting in Russia, protesting the war. A lot of people said they never saw this footage before. And obviously all of the journalists were banned, all the independent journalists are banned from Russia. So people were surprised about that too.
Yeah, which is why it's important to show art from Russia like your film, because it definitely shows things that is, it's not manipulated media. It's real people protesting, making art, doing real things, as opposed to just what the government wants the rest of the world to see.
So we obviously love this film. We're really excited for other people to see it. What are the release plans? Can we expect a theatrical release, a streaming release?
We can confirm that we will have a theatrical release in the UK this December in 2023. So we're very excited about that. And we hope to have a theatrical release in the US in 2024. So definitely watch out for the film. But we're still touring. We're still on the festival circuit. So if you see the film playing in your theater, please come, say hi. And if you're in Europe, you might be able to see, to meet Jenna in person. So our next stop is Itva. So if you're in Amsterdam, please come and say hi.
Yeah, that's amazing. Congrats on the UK release. Hopefully a US release will follow soon. Igor Agnew, it was a pleasure to have you on the podcast. Thank you so much for coming to talk to us about Queendom, about Jenna's art, about your filmmaking. And you've told us where the film is going to be released, where it's where people can find it in festivals, but where can people find you? If they want to know more about Queendom, I'm sure you're on social media. So let our listeners know where they can find you there.
Well, you can find us on Instagram. should I spell it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, just yes.
Our film called Queendom Doc. So you can find our film there. You can find Jenna. Her Instagram is Jenna Marvin, and ours, mine is Agnia with AGNI then double underscore IA, and Igor can speak for himself.
My Instagram is Igor Mayakotin, but without an R, so it's IGOMYAKOTIN. But if you go to Queendom Doc on Instagram, you'll see we're tagged there in the pictures. Follow the film there on Queendom Doc on Instagram. And in our bio, there's a link with the upcoming screenings at festivals. And also Queendom Doc.com is our website. So go there to see the latest news. And we're also excited to share that I'm not sure when this is going to be released, but we'll have a trailer release very soon. So we're very excited about that. So watch it and share it.
Yes, that sounds great. Love it. Love it that you guys have a trailer. And you can find the show at I Am Picture Show on Twitter and Instagram. I'm on Murtada_E on Instagram and ME_says on Twitter/X.
And I'm BK Rewind on Twitter and BK_Rewind on Instagram. So.
And until next time, thank you for listening.